And it's time for humanity to stand up in the info war and say, I don't know what's going to happen at the end of this, but you want to fight? You better believe you've got one!
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones. News today.
It's Sunday, the 12th of October, 2025. I'm on the East Coast to be interviewed by Tucker Carlson tomorrow with massive breaking news. But first off, Mike Lindell was defaulted himself in the deep state Democrat lawsuits against him for questioning the election. Then they said his company, MyPillow, that is totally separate, is guilty just because he's the founder of it. They find you guilty. A judge does, claiming you didn't give discovery, which is a lie. Then they have a show trial on the damages, not just of him individually, but his company, to destroy his employees. They don't want money, folks. They want to bankrupt you. They want to shut you down. They've said that in all the trials. This is total weaponization. Now, the Supreme Court was supposed to rule Friday on my case, but they said they're going to wait till Tuesday because of the holiday. This is in the Supreme Court right now. And the Democrats have said they're going to use the precedent against me against President Trump, everybody else. Remember how some of his trials, real estate stuff, the judges found him guilty? The judges said he didn't get a jury? But in these default cases, they find you guilty, then tell a jury how guilty you are. And the American people are used to a trial, but you're already guilty. You're not guilty until proven how guilty. You're innocent until proven guilty. Not guilty until proven innocent. So this is beyond guilty until proven innocent. This is guilty until proven how guilty. We'll talk about it more. We got Mike Lindell coming on in the next few days. But this is such tyranny. This is so dangerous. This is coming after everybody, ladies and gentlemen. It's not about me. It's about you. They got to get through me to get to you. Here's Mike Lindell. We'll be right back with all the other massive news today. This is a big deal. This is tyranny. That's why the deep state's got to be dismantled and indicted for their crimes against the American people.
Hello, everyone. Well, you probably already heard a judge in Minnesota ruled against MyPillow and myself, saying that we defamed Smartmatic, the voting machine company. Now, this was in a summary judgment. So, in other words, this judge decided that we defamed him before even going to jury trial. Now the jury would just decide, did Mike do it maliciously? And how much does he owe? This is disgusting. And here's what the appellant, he said MyPillow was guilty because they were guilty by association. That's you can't make this stuff up. So if you're an employer out there and one of your employees is out, whatever he's doing on his time, you can now get sued for defamation because of that employee. This is what would happen. This would set a precedent that you would never be able to stop. And the other thing is, he said that I defamed him. Now, the ramifications of that is no one would ever be able to question a government private contractor again, ever. If you did, you could be sued. It's disgusting. These voting machines, we pay for them. They're government private contractors. They're running our elections. Anyway, the judge gave me 30 days to appeal this, which I have to appeal. It'll go to the federal 8th Circuit in Minnesota. And this is where we won the $5 million challenge, too, by the way, where they overturned that corrupt verdict from the lower courts. Anyway, we really need help. If you go to MyPillowTrial.com, you can check it out there and help us out and help save our country, get rid of these voting machines, and get to paper ballots and counting. Thank you, and God bless.
Translation, Mike Lindell has been found guilty by judges and his employees for questioning election fraud, but now the Democrats say without any proof, Trump is going to have martial law and cancel the 2026 midterms. These people are massive criminals. They know their time's up. That's why they're so desperate. We'll be right back with a full transmission. Stay with us and share the live feed right now because you're the Paul Rears.
Why don't you just keep your mouth shut?
Oh,
because you showed
up. Is that the way to
talk? You showed up. You voted.
You can extend it right now.
A permanent extension of massive tax breaks. Is that right?
90% of Americans take the standard deduction.
Is that right?
If you had your way, the standard deduction would have been cut in half. That would have been a massive tax increase on Americans.
Hakeem Jeffries, the Democratic Party, and the rest of the deep state want you and I to shut up. We're not going to shut up. That's why on top of the giant sale we've got going, Veterans of the InfoWar right now, you get an additional 10% off at checkout at thealexshowstore.com with promo code Hakeem. Because no, Hakeem, we're not going to shut up. And when Americans and others back InfoWars and this operation and what we're doing, they are literally defending the tip of the spear. This is the media operation the globalists and the left hate the most. We can't do this without your support. So please help keep us on the air and really say no to Hakeem Jeffries and the rest of these people by going to thealexshowstore.com for the best supplements, widest selection of Patriot apparel, and here, promo code Hakeem to get 10% off right now.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
The Financial Times of London, that is the mouth of MI6, that is running the offensive NATO operations, came out today and said that since July, the Trump administration has been covertly giving heavy long-range weapons, which Trump now admits, to Ukraine to bomb deep inside Russia, a repeat of what we saw with Operation Spiderweb that took out a lot of their strategic nuclear bombers. This is so incredibly dangerous. Imagine if Russia was doing that to us. NATO started the war, pushed up to its border, did all this. I'm not saying Russia's perfect. My point is, this is poking the bear. And now Trump a few weeks ago said, oh, Zelensky might not just be able to take back Ukraine, but maybe part of Russia. Massive escalatory statement, so historically dangerous. I overall support everything Trump's doing and his attempts to get peace. He's now gotten 8 deals done to stop wars and conflicts. He's admitted he thought Russia would be the easiest to fix, but it's been the hardest. This is NATO doesn't want the war to stop. They want to bring Ukraine into NATO. That was the red line on Russia's border that made Putin come in. So the West is the aggressor here. That's why this is wrong. Plus, Russia has nuclear weapons. This continues to escalate and escalate, and they bet on the idea that, well, Putin will never actually strike back with any nuclear weapons or with his main military force. We've already got like 150,000 North Koreans fighting there. They've already defeated NATO conventionally. This is beyond insane. I've got another report coming up on this later with Russia's threats. But separately, it's a lot bigger than InfoWars, a lot bigger than Alex Jones, a lot bigger than Mike Lindell or Matt Billa. He has been found guilty by a Minnesota operative Democrat judge, defaulted himself and then his company separately, it's another corporation, and his employees of defaming one of the big voting machine companies. And what they want is you not be able to ask questions about election fraud. They can say Republicans steal elections all day with no proof, but if you say it, we're going to default you where you don't get a jury trial because then he can put on evidence. I was defaulted in Texas and Connecticut. Never said the things they said I said. They raised all this money off me with PR and then found me guilty. Then they had a show trial and told the jury how guilty I was and I couldn't put on evidence to counter. And I warned everybody then. I said, the Democrats are on MSNBC, CNN, saying this is a precedent for everybody else. For Trump, for Tucker Carlson, they mentioned my name, and now Mike Lindell. So I'll get Mike all the next few days. But until this has been done to you, it's hard to believe. I did nothing they said I did. Everybody knows that. Even what they claimed I said would be protected by the First Amendment. I didn't even say that. That's why I'm in front of the Supreme Court now. They looked at it. The actual Supreme Court did. Went through two of the first hurdles, the third hurdle, Friday. They usually rule that same day. They said, no, we're going to wait till Tuesday and let you know. And if that happens, if they don't take it, this was a decision whether or not to take it, then they've got a receiver at the state level to come shut us down. We'll move on with the Alex Jones Network. I don't own, and I'll be an employee of it. But the point is, it sets an incredibly dangerous anti-free speech precedent where these Democrat leftist judges find you guilty. This is so insane. This is so un-American. And look, I'll just say it. I know Trump's got a lot of fish to fry. And he's the one saying, hey, we got 274 FBI agents on J6, you know, part of it, Ray lied to Congress, said it wasn't, indict him like Comey. Yeah, Trump's like, let's go. Well, let's go because Pam Bondi and the deputy attorney general, the same one that killed the investigation that Ed Martin launched a month ago, and the stuff that happened to me, run by the Justice Department, we have the documents, that's weaponization. Justice Department ran those fake suits that had the judges default me in Texas and Connecticut. We have the documents, all came out in court. Well, they got killed by the deputy AG. So, Trump, you're asking, why is this happening? Let's go. It's who you have in there. That's why you finally got pissed and removed a few U.S. attorneys. You got a few indictments of Letitia James and a Comey, and now of John Bolton next week. That's good. It's only because you took action. You're the one with the big swinging dick, Trump. So you're going to have to pull it out and use it. Or they're going to kill you. Or if you're lucky, just put you in prison, and me too. So I didn't do anything. I'm sitting here watching this, and I'm watching every day. Why is nothing happening? Why is this not going on? Mike Lindell's been one of your biggest supporters. He didn't do anything but challenge the election. He's been proven right. And now they're taking over his company. There's thousands of employees without a trial. Same thing happened to me. Remember the judge on your real estate thing wouldn't let you have a jury. And I know your cases are all about you. I get it. You're the big one they're after. But if you let them set the precedence for all of us, it sets a precedent for the rest of American people. They're trying to get through you to get to us. So if you don't stand up for us, what does it do? It sets a precedent where they can pick off all your supporters and at the end get you. So whatever you do, ask your deputy AG why he bragged and killed the investigation. When you're asking everybody why this is happening, will President Trump stand up for his own supporters? He's talking about Keir Starmer being a tyrant. He is. Banning free speech. All of it. What about the Democrats in jurisdictions all over the country where judges find people guilty with this made-up, oh, you didn't give us discovery, all lies. Read my Supreme Court brief. There was no evidence, so they just said, oh, you didn't give it to us, you're defaulted. Part of the default was asking if Hillary Clinton was involved, because they said she was involved behind it. Now we know the DOJ they were. We have the documents where they funded the whole thing. The DOJ funded the fake lawsuits against me, set up the defaults, did it all, serious racketeering, violation of due process, violation of rights. And what do you do? What do you do? These law firms paying $20 million, $50 million, oh, they apologize. Paul Weiss, all of them, they just attack even harder. Ask Boris Epstein. I'm not saying he's a bad guy. Why he's making these deals and why those very same law firms are still attacking your family, your supporters. Do you even know that? Oh, we promise to stop lawfare. Oh, we promise. And then they continue it against your biggest supporters. If you can't protect your supporters from tyranny, you won't be protected. That's what message to President Trump. Now, Tish Geiser takes over. We'll be back with special reports live on the road. I'm up here in Maine to be interviewed by Tucker Carlson with emergency information tomorrow. Stay with us. Follow me on X for Alex Jones. And for now, Infowars.com/show. The receiver was in last Tuesday to shut us down. They're just waiting. They're just waiting to see what happens with the Supreme Court. That's how close this is. That's how close this is. Trump, I told you when they banned me off the internet, I said, you'll be next. Remember? And then he was banned. I'm the canary in the coal mine, Trump. I need you to take down the globalists, but if you won't defend your own people, because you got a bunch of establishment leftists posing as Republicans in there, you got a big problem, and so do we. So I'm lighting a fire in your ass. My listeners here. If you won't stand up for me, and if you're going to let your deputy AG kill the investigation, so you're going to let him shut down Mike Lindell, too? For question of theft, the election from you that's been proven? He's going to cut him loose, too? And then ask, why won't anybody do anything? Because you've got fakes up there at the top of the Justice Department. That's why. The proof's in the pudding. Only when you crack the whip did you get some action. So the answer is, put your spurs in the side of that horse and get that whip out and let's go! Or we're all fucked. Back to Chase Geiser. Stay with us. And share the live feed. Because you're the Paul Revere's. Russia war, the NATO-U.S. proxy war with Russia, has come to its most dangerous point at this time. Russia has succeeded in its special military operations, securing the east of Ukraine and Crimea, and now because Ukraine is not having elections and now not suing for peace, and NATO has decided to continue on, Russia is expanding and taking even more cities and more towns and talking about encircling Kharkiv and Kiev and then forcing everybody to evacuate and then leveling the place. So that's what happens in these wars if these escalations continue. And NATO has not come to the table with any of the deals that Putin had basically agreed with Trump. So now Trump says that he is going to give them Tomahawk cruise missiles in the next few weeks, he thinks. Russia came out today and said that is absolute war, that is direct war. You do that, we're going to start targeting NATO targets. This is why there was a threat escalation ladder the RAND Corporation developed in the 50s that has been adopted worldwide. Every government uses it, okay? That's why, remember, Biden said we can't give them F-16s and Abrams tanks. That leads to World War III. That's because on the escalation ladder, there's the next escalation, the next escalation. And we're following the exact escalation up into limited nuclear war, total nuclear war, that basically just happens in a few hours once you go into the last few steps of this. So we have such a normalcy bias, though, that everybody just seems like, oh, that's a million miles away. Ukraine might as well be Mars. It's not. China just cut off all rare earth mineral exports to anybody that works for the U.S. They control 95% of it, okay? The globalists allow them to be in a position like that. And now China double-crossed them. This is absolutely out of control. So we're in the new world war. And that's what all the big think tanks have been saying for a couple of years. But now it's official, okay? You got 100,000 plus North Korean troops in Ukraine. War coming. You've got all these different proxy wars going on. This is the new world war. Now, the CIA called the Cold War World War III. And I agree with that term. This is really World War IV. And it's getting kinetic. It's economic. It's cultural. And it's incredibly dangerous. And NATO did start this. Doesn't mean Russia's perfect. But NATO and the EU are the bad guys. They encircled Russia. They started it. The case of China, they're the bad guys. They're going into Vietnam, grabbing islands and drilling rigs. They're going into islands around Japan. They're going into the Philippines and stealing islands and ramming people's boats and everything. I mean, they are out of control. They're building huge ports in the Caribbean. They're just taking over. They're trying to push us out of the Panama Canal. So that's the big issue. That's what we should be dealing with, not in this damn thing with Russia. But the EU and the globalists have just absolutely positioned the U.S. for collapse at the end of the dollar. And they're actually working with China. The EU is actually working with China to get us distracted with the Russians off on our flank. Trump knows that, and it's got to stop now. I'll be covering this more today, 4 to 8 p.m. on the Sunday transmission. Please join me then, and please share the live feed because you have all the power. You are the Paul Revere's. Follow me on Next World, Alex Jones, and follow me on the Alex Jones Network channel and Alex Jones channel. There's several on Rumble. God bless. Thank you so much. Pray for peace. It's very, very serious. And please take this very, very serious.
I could take a view that the individual in question, Mr. Soros, is a old, rich, opinionated person sitting in New York who still thinks that his views should determine how the entire world works. Now, if I could only stop at old, rich, and opinionated, I would put it away. But it's old, rich, opinionated, and dangerous.
President Trump is a con man and the ultimate narcissist who wants the world to revolve around him.
The Soros family has been strangling the United States of America for over 30 years.
They need to finish George Soros. That man and his ideas and his foundations are responsible for the destruction of the West. And someone has to now, he has to pay for it.
In an August 27, 2025 Truth Social post, Trump demanded RICO charges against the Soroses.
A lot of the people that you would traditionally say are on the left.
They're already under investigation.
Already under investigation.
Well, Soros is the name certainly that I keep hearing. I don't know, but Soros is the name that I hear. I hear a lot of different names. I hear names of some pretty rich people that are radical left people.
And we're going to look into Soros because I think it's a RICO case against him and other people.
For decades, George Soros, the shadowy billionaire puppet master, has been funneling his fortune into the heart of American chaos, starting his dark crusade in the 1980s with so-called philanthropy that eventually morphed into tearing down the nation's moral and legal fabric, the prime example of everything we were warned about by the founders.
And I want to echo the Secretary's comments on Scott Bessent, who's allowing us to map out these networks through their financial criminal activities, which has been going on for decades.
And at the Government Accountability Institute, my colleague and I, Peter Schweitzer and I, and our team, we followed the money, and we followed it to the top of what we call the protest industrial complex, Riot Inc. And we found a network of NGOs. It's not just the Soros Network, the Open Society Network. It's other funding networks, the Arabella Funding Network, the Tides Funding Network, Neville Roy Singham and his network, Foreign Cash. And it's also big left-wing funders. Some of them are not citizens of this country. Mr. Hans-Jörg Wies of Switzerland. They're pouring money into this entire ecosystem. And so I want to share three money facts with you about what we call Riot Inc. Number one, like any corporation, Riot Inc. has many divisions. It doesn't just have the Antifa boots on the ground division. It has PR divisions. It has marketing divisions. It has a very well-funded legal division to get these boots on the ground back on the streets as quickly as possible. But it does have those investors that I mentioned. Number two, we have identified dozens of radical organizations, not just the decentralized Antifa organizations, but dozens of radical organizations that have received more than $100 million from the Riot Inc. investors. These would be the lawyer groups. These would be the groups that advocate for calling good, honest Americans fascists, etc. And then three, I think the most shocking thing is that we have found that more than $100 million in U.S. taxpayer funding has flowed into these funding networks, including at least $4 million to these very groups themselves, not just Antifa types, but there was an event in Atlanta called Stop Cop City. Over 60 rioters were charged with domestic terrorism. These groups received money for that from both the billionaire class as well as taxpayer money.
Whispers in D.C. suggest dusting off this act, the Communist Control Act from 1954, to slam the hammer down on their shadowy networks. With Trump's DOJ already sniffing around Soros' empire for RICO violations, the Communist Control Act could be weaponized to label his radical funded groups as communist fronts, choking their cash flow and exposing their anti-American agenda. And it's never been more obvious than it is now that this is the last stand to save the nation from a creeping red tide. John Bowne reporting for InfoWars.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Alex Jones Show. I am Chase Geiser, your host this evening. We've got quite a show lined up for you as well. I'm going to have Rex Jones join us in the fourth hour of the transmission because I am going to be hosting through this hour and from 5 to 6, 6 to 7, and then 7 to 8. I also will be taking your calls at 6 p.m. Central Time for at least an hour. So please keep your phones close by. But obviously the major news, the two main stories that have come across my plate are the Mike Lindell story, which is an exact mirror and an exact replica of what we've seen happen with Alex Jones in terms of the lawfare and just all the abundance of BS. And then plus, there's this rhetoric from Donald Trump about the enhanced support for Ukraine. And I'm going to get into a little bit about why I think that's actually going on. And I've explained it before, but I'm going to try to dive into the nuance and some of the more sophisticated interpretations of the national security implications that are happening right now. The trouble with what's going on with Trump and Ukraine and this rhetoric that's happening is, first of all, it's abundantly complicated. Second of all, if you've read The Art of the Deal, and a lot of people like to come out and say, oh, well, he didn't even write The Art of the Deal. Yeah, but it's still a book written based on his ideas and by a ghostwriter that followed him around for an extended period of time. I mean, it's 100% Donald Trump's philosophy on business, politics, and negotiation. And anybody who's read Art of the Deal understands that you have to set up a certain pretext, a certain context, in order to leverage your opponent in a negotiation into landing on the number that you're actually interested in. We've seen countless examples of viral clips of this from TV shows like Severance or other business shows, which are all the rage right now, probably in part because Donald Trump is president of the United States. So there's this zeitgeist in our culture that's just very interested in massive negotiations, huge deals. Everyone's just trying to break through this glass ceiling of the classism that's manifest in the United States of America since the Democrats have had their way for decade after decade, trying to subjugate us into one class. point I try to make is it's hard to understand if Trump actually holds the position that he says that he holds on Ukraine, if he actually believes that Zelensky or Ukraine could win this conflict against Russia, or if he's just saying that he believes that in order to leverage Russia into a more desirable negotiation, a more desirable outcome. And frankly, I don't know the answer. It's also possible that Trump has been read in some of the nuance of this conflict to understand the fact that this is actually not a conflict between Russia and Ukraine or Russia and the United States, but it's really a conflict between China and the United States, Russia being a proxy for China, and Ukraine, of course, being a proxy for the United States of America. And I know that sounds odd. Why is this happening? How is this? Well, if you look at the details, China has pushed North Korea to at first deploy, I think it was 1,500 special forces troops into the conflict. One would think, why does China care about this conflict between Russia and Ukraine? Why does North Korea have to get involved? Of course, North Korea is just a cutout of China. It's China's reserve army of nearly a million people in their standing army, if you've looked at the data, with their cheap sunglasses and their cheap equipment because they're all starving. But it's a massive standing army that's on standby to be deployed on behalf of the CCP at any moment. So why is it that China is sending troops into Russia in order to help Russia in this conflict in Ukraine? And why is it that the United States is so gung-ho about supporting Ukraine in this conflict? It doesn't seem to make any sense whatsoever. I mean, is this just another example of military-industrial complex corruption? Is it just another excuse for massive weapons development, massive armament in the United States of America? Is this just a conflict that the military-industrial complex loves to have happen because we can make tons and tons and tons of money off of the taxpayers to the contractors and then give kickback to the politicians who are invested in these various military-industrial complex contractors? I mean, yes, that's certainly part of it, but there is a genuine national security interest here, and primarily that interest is we understand that if Russia controls all of Ukraine, then it can divert the agricultural exports of Ukraine away from Europe and into China, rendering China independent of the United States of America in terms of our agricultural exports, simultaneously collapsing ag in the United States of America and positioning China for an annexation of Taiwan. And if you look at Trump's remarks just weeks ago when Putin was with Xi Jinping, the massive parade that was going on in China, Donald Trump was going nuts on Truth saying, oh, Putin, you're a piece of shit, basically. I know what you guys are doing, conspiring against the United States of America. I think he has been informed, whether it's true or not, he has been informed that Russia and China are conspiring together against the United States of America, and there was never any intention, at least from the Russians, to end this conflict in Ukraine because they want to divide the attention of the United States in Ukraine, in Israel, to open up a window for China to annex Taiwan as soon as possible. There's a reason that this has all been developing in the context of the leadership in Taiwan literally going on a podcast tour in the last 6 months saying that an invasion or an annexation or an attack on Taiwan is absolutely imminent. And I know that this is a boy who cried wolf situation where we've seen from the CCP rhetoric like this for literally decades, but this is the real deal. I would be surprised if we didn't see an annexation in the coming months. Frankly, I'm surprised that it hasn't happened already. October 1st was on Wednesday. It was a massive historical day for the CCP, if you look at their history. I'm surprised that they didn't take advantage of that opportunity to leverage the propaganda benefit of an annexation, but we are in the middle of an artificial intelligence arms race with China right now, and it's playing out in different ways that are not clearly linked, but if you pay attention, the nuance is obvious. This war between China and the United States, this cold war of artificial intelligence, is playing out in the death of hundreds of thousands of people in Ukraine, and it's not going to end anytime soon. Stay tuned for more on the other side of this very short break.
Hey, the Alex Jones app, AJN Live, is now the number one app in the world. That's right, you heard me. We're number one. And this is pissing off the Democrats in the deep state big time. They're doing everything they can to shut us down, and now here we are, dominating the Apple Store.
Smells like victory.
We just launched the app less than 2 days ago, and we're already the number one news app in the world. And we'd like to keep it that way, so if you haven't done so yet, now's your chance. Go to alexjonesapp.com and download the app and tell the globalists to go f*** themselves.
unless you've been hiding under a rock, everyone knows that Shilajit is one of the most incredible super nutrients, and they don't even know how it's formed deep under the earth. It's just got incredible amino acids and natural peptides that nothing else has. And what does it do for you? Everything. Your skin, your clarity, your focus. I'm on this stuff. Your wife, your girlfriend will thank you. That's just a little side issue. Shilajit is awesome, but this is the best, purest, strongest Shilajit with a whole bunch of other badass stuff in it. We throw the kitchen sink at you because we want it to work, and it will. And it funds the Second American Revolution worldwide. So get this great t-shirt design and hundreds of others, the biggest selection, at thealexjonesstore.com, funding the Second American Revolution worldwide. God almighty.
Hey, Chase, good to talk to you again. I wanted to do a quick plug on the methylene blue, on the long-term effects that it had on me. Back in 2020, I got COVID. My brother and my dad both have eczema. After I got COVID, it must have, it opened that dormant cell in my body or whatever. So I've been dealing with eczema ever since 2020. And the long-term effects of the methylene blue, 99% gone.
That's absolutely incredible. I'm so happy. Have your relatives tried it too to see the same effect?
I have been trying to get my brother to take it, and he's skeptical. But I'll tell you what, I got 4 bottles sitting on my table. I think I'm just going to give him one. And I think if I just give it to him, I think he'll eventually try it.
Yeah, that's a good move.
It's almost poetic, the products that we sell, because yes, they are the best. Yes, it is the best price for the highest quality. Yes, they are third-party tested. It's almost poetic because as we advocate for humanity, what we sell to you is that which makes you or allows you to make yourself a better version of yourself. Whether it's getting the methylene blue, which helps you with focus and energy and mental clarity, or ultimate life force, which makes your body healthier in so many ways I don't have the time to explain to you. Whether it's the Shilajit that gives you incredible vitality, or the ultimate burn, which ensures that your metabolism is optimal, or the optimal human, which is everything the body needs. You see, we're fighting for your mind, your body, and your soul, not just with the products that we sell, but with the message of this network. We have to have the truth. We have to have freedom of speech. We have to have our rights, because folks, we're about ready to go into an artificial intelligence war, into a space war, the likes of which humanity couldn't even dream of, even in science fiction. So please go to thealexjonesstore.com right now, not just for your mind and your body, but for your species.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.
Truth they don't want you to see. This is the Alex Jones Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, I am Chase Geiser, your host of the Alex Jones Show for the next hour and a half. Plus, I will be hosting tomorrow's news tonight immediately after at 6 p.m. I will be taking your calls, so make sure you keep your phones close by. And for the final hour of the transmission, we are going to have Rex Jones in studio. So I'm hosting remotely from Arkansas. Rex Jones is going to be showing up at the InfoWars Command Center. It's going to be funny because I'm going to technically be the host, but he's going to be the one physically in the chair there. Make sure you guys put him in the real chair too, not the guest chair. And we're going to talk about all the latest what's going on, but we were diving into the artificial intelligence arms race that's going on between China and the United States and these recent escalations in this conflict between Russia and Ukraine. I believe, based on all the evidence that I've witnessed, not just over the last few years, but over the last few months, that there was never any intention of Vladimir Putin to de-escalate this conflict. And in fact, I'm starting to believe that he wants just total control over Ukraine, because you remember what happened was Ukraine used to be a proxy of Russia. It used to be a cutout of Russia. Then there was this coup, this civil war, this regime change that took place where we went in and we installed our own government in Ukraine so that it would become a proxy or a cutout of the United States of America. And this has been the cause of tension between Russia and the United States. Because we understand that Russia and China
both have the same objective of unseating the dollar as the global reserve currency. And I know this economic stuff is so boring. I don't want to get into the difference between Keynesian economics and Austrian economics, or what it's like having fractional reserve banking coupled with a fiat currency backed by a petrodollar and what the implications are in foreign policy. But when push comes to shove, it's very simple. Our money is a lie, and the only way that we can prop it up is with endless war. War in the Middle East to sustain the petrodollar situation, and war everywhere else to ensure that we have no competition whatsoever. And right now we're in this artificial intelligence arms race with the CCP because we don't want the CCP to have the same kind of manufacturing power, economic power in the 21st century that the United States of America had in the latter half of the 20th century. We don't want them to be able to replace their dying labor force because of their terrible one-child policy that they had for years and years. We don't want them to be able to replace this dying labor force with artificial intelligence and robotics in a way that allows them to continue to maintain their monopoly on manufacturing the world over. Plus, we certainly don't want to allow China to become independent of the United States economy, not just as a consumer, but in terms of agriculture. Every year, I grew up in McLean County, Illinois, produces more corn than any other county in the world, at least it did when I was growing up there. And the farmers, they alternate which crops they plant in which fields every year to ensure that the soil remains nutrient strong. You're not supposed to plant the same crop in the same field 2 years in a row. So they'll do corn in a field 1 year, then they'll do soybeans the next year, and they'll do corn the next year, and they just alternate, right? Knee high by the 4th of July, they used to say, before they started pumping all these GMOs into the ground. Now it's pretty much shoulder high by the 4th of July. But our agricultural industry has depended largely on the demand of China in order to sustain itself, exporting our soybeans to China, ironically enough. Now they call Ukraine the breadbasket of Europe, the breadbasket of that whole entire segment of the world. Traditionally, it's been exporting, of course, its agriculture throughout all of Europe, keeping costs of food down in Europe. While China has had to import its soybeans and its agriculture from the United States overseas, almost our only export left in the United States of America, if you think about it, other than intellectual property, which is incessantly stolen. And what's going to happen if Russia controls all of the agriculture in Ukraine is they're going to divert the exports away from Europe, ramping up costs in Europe, depleting the strength of the United States economy. And they're going to divert that to China, making China independent of the United States for its agriculture. Then, of course, China's in a position to annex Taiwan, gain a monopoly over all of the manufacturing technology associated with developing artificial intelligence so it can ramp up its AI, it can increase its monopoly on trade throughout Europe, defeat the IMEC corridor, establish the Belt and Road Initiative, and then Russia, BRICS, and China are just all sitting pretty as the dollar collapses. We're seeing a little bit of this happening right now. I'm going to show you a clip here in a second. Greg, let me know if you need me to change anything on the audio out here, because I'm going to play this clip from my end. But we're already seeing the impacts on our economy. Let's watch a little bit of this.
So here's the prediction. I think there's going to be a retail crash. I think there's a giant retail bubble right now for crap that was never worth it, that has absolutely skyrocketed in price. And for some reason, people have bought into it and allowed that to happen. But I think more and more people will start to realize that this stuff was never worth it to begin with, and they're going to stop buying into it. And just a few examples of this, those cheap workout sets that are made out of polyester and spandex, and that they're charging upwards of $100 a piece for. Those bathing suits that are like three threads of fabric that they're charging over $100 to $200 for one or two pieces for. Coffees and lattes. It's just getting so wild that it's just going to become unsustainable. Skincare, makeup. And we know that their margins are outrageous because their profits are outrageous. These companies are just exponentially increasing their profits year after year by exponentially increasing the prices on these garbage things that they're selling us. And when this crash happens, these companies are going to be forced to bring down the price or go out of business. I also predict that there's going to be a new crop of companies that are mid-priced, like average priced, where it's not super cheap and it's not super expensive, but they still offer trendy quality items. And these are the type of businesses that will start taking it away from these bigger corporations. I feel like it's already happening slowly.
She goes on, and she's just looking at the market analysis of this, but she doesn't realize that these types of conversations are catalyzed by the socioeconomic status of the world, by all the foreign policy that we have in the world as well. And I'm telling you, folks, what's going to happen with this Ukraine conflict, and the great irony of this is that this is actually the best argument for us being involved in conflicts related to Israel or Ukraine. And I'm not for these conflicts in Israel or Ukraine at all. But because our whole entire monetary system is so corrupt and screwed up and dishonest, in order to protect our national security interests, we have to constantly control the global market. If you want to be the world's global reserve currency, you have to have global imperialist dominance. That's what's so troubling about all this to me. And so if our money's going to be this fake fiat currency that requires us to just lie over and over again, that requires us to back it up with a petrodollar because oil is, you know, black gold, that requires us to get involved in conflicts in Ukraine for reasons unknown, as if our government actually cares about democracy. First of all, Ukraine isn't a democracy, and our government, second of all, does not care about democracy whatsoever. They do everything they can to delegitimize the elections in our own country every step of the way, allowing invasion of our country from the southern border, people from South America and Central America to the tune of tens of millions of people. Even Marjorie Taylor Greene coming out and saying, look, people that have been here for 20 or 30 years ought to be able to stay, especially if they're working for our construction contract. She's like, she says, I know that I'm going to get a lot of crap for this, but I don't believe that we should be putting our small business contractors out of business because we take away all of their cheap labor, their slave labor from the imports. And look, I love MTG. I think she's a good person. I just think she's wrong on this particular issue. But literally everything that we have seen has been related to this national security. The real reason that international support for nuclear power seemed to just kind of evaporate has nothing to do with Chernobyl or Three Mile Island or the dangers of nuclear power. The reason that we stopped supporting nuclear power the world over is because we realized that the leap from nuclear energy to nuclear weaponry was very easy for countries to hop. You allow a place like India to use nuclear power, you give them the technology, you help them with the infrastructure, and then within just a few years, they have a nuclear weapon. A Pakistan, same thing. A few years, they have a nuclear weapon. You allow an Iran to have nuclear energy, then of course, within a few years, they could have a nuclear weapon. I think Iran already has nuclear weapons. But that's the real reason that we've seen this massive push against nuclear power the world over in response to the climate change arguments that were taking place. It's not because there was some radiation issue or some danger issue. Like what we saw with Chernobyl and Three Mile Island, those problems have been corrected. And frankly, the containment facility, I believe, just kind of worked for Three Mile Island. Maybe I'm incorrect about that, but did anybody end up getting radiated from that little accident? So the real reason that we're not supporting all these countries getting nuclear power to sustain themselves from an energy standpoint is kind of twofold. First of all, we want to increase artificially demand for oil internationally to prop up our own dollar. And second of all, we don't want anybody else to have nuclear power who doesn't already have it. Frankly, we don't want people to have nuclear power who do already have it. It's crazy, too, because I was seeing this report from Dan Rather from 43 years ago. I just want to show you this. This is unbelievable to me right here, and we'll unpack it on the other side. Hold on.
Rising temperatures on planet Earth heated up a hearing here in Washington today. For years, scientists have theorized about the dangers of the so-called greenhouse effect, the warming of the Earth's atmosphere due to the burning of coal and oil. And in recent months, as David Culhane reports, research has uncovered facts to support that theory.
Many scientists claim that the temperature of the Earth's atmosphere has been rising over the past 100 years, that the great sheets of pack ice in Antarctica are melting at a much more rapid rate than previously. And finally, that the sea level has been rising with increasing swiftness over the past 40 years. If these scientists are correct, about 25% of Florida would be flooded, along with low-lying areas all over the world. climate changes could produce widespread disruption of agriculture. The American Farm Belt might be too dry, and the wheat and corn crops would have to move to Canada. Scientists blame the odorless, colorless carbon dioxide gas for these potentially dangerous changes around the planet. It is the greenhouse effect. The gas allows sunlight to filter down and warm the earth. But like the glass of a greenhouse, the carbon dioxide tends to trap heat so that it cannot rise into space. The scientists maintain that the coal, oil, and gas we've been burning for 100 years have produced more and more carbon dioxide and helped overheat the earth. Now some political leaders endorse the demands for more CO2 monitoring stations, like this one in Hawaii. And they share the anger of the scientists at Reagan administration budget cuts at a time when they feel closer to getting definitive answers.
We are not doing the kind of research that we should be doing to determine whether or not these scientists who are so alarmed are correct in their assessment.
And what they find out will affect the lives and fortunes of millions of people. The very
survival. What you're seeing here, folks, what you're seeing here, and it's taken me years to realize this, but the entire climate hoax was motivated by two primary things that had nothing to do with genuine concern for the environment. The first thing was, it was just NGOs, leftist organizations trying to skim as much federal money as possible. And the second thing was literally an international effort to simultaneously justify nuclear power from our enemies that wanted to be able to use that to leverage themselves into having nuclear weaponry, and to weaken the dollar as much as possible by decreasing the demand for oil. So what happens is oil has to be traded because of OPEC in U.S. dollar denominations. This creates an artificial demand for the U.S. dollar that we force all these Middle Eastern countries to trade oil in dollars. It's the reason we got involved in Afghanistan. It's the reason that we got involved in Iraq. It's the reason that we got involved in Libya. It's the reason that we're involved in this conflict with Israel and Iran right now, because they're all conspiring, all these countries other than Israel, to decouple the dollar from oil. But just imagine hypothetically, let's say tomorrow there's this miracle technology where we can get infinite energy without having to use oil whatsoever. No oil in cars, no oil in aircraft carriers, no oil in aircraft themselves, no oil necessary whatsoever. You know what would happen to the United States economy if that were to take place? Total economic collapse. Total collapse of the U.S. dollar. Millions upon millions of people starving to death, out of business. I mean, within 6 months of the 1929 stock market crash in the United States, all of the wild game had been hunted and was gone. People actually starved to death in the United States of America during the Great Depression. It wasn't just people having to resort to eating canned beans as they hopped trains from town to town, knocking and graciously asking for work like something from Grapes of Wrath. I mean, people were starving to death. My grandmother grew up in the Dust Bowl in Kansas during the Great Depression. She was only allowed to wear shoes on Sundays to church because they couldn't afford to buy new shoes. They were wealthy before the crash. They had a townhouse in Kansas City, fairly sophisticated family. Then they had to go live on the farm, live off their own chickens. They only made Jell-O in the winter because that was the only time that it was cold enough to actually prepare it. They never wanted for anything food-wise because they had their own farm. But if you didn't have a farm, you were liable to starve to death during the Great Depression in the United States of America. And so this whole climate thing is intimately tied to this whole Ukraine conflict and the conflict in Israel and what China's trying to do in the AI arms race against the United States of America with the annexation of Taiwan, which is coming. It's like Jesus said about the end of the world. Neither the day or the hour is known. We'll come like the thief in the night. One day we're going to wake up and we're going to be met with just viral post after viral post of bombing after bombing after bombing after bombing in Taiwan. And the United States is going to have to decide whether it wants to go to war with Iran, with its proxy in Israel, whether it wants to go to war with Russia, with its proxy in Ukraine, or whether it wants to go to war with China, with its proxy in Taiwan. That is the foreign policy situation that we are vastly quickly arriving at. Incredibly dangerous. Whether you want to call it World War III or World War IV, this is why there's an interest in Israel. This is why there's an interest in Ukraine. And yes, some of it has to do with blackmail stuff and $7,000 payments to influencers from Israel. Some of it has to do with a bunch of BS and military industrial complex skimming and the armament being so good for these contractors, which the Adam Schiffs and the Nancy Pelosi's and others are abundantly invested in and out strategically as they have insider information. Yes, there's just generic, simple corruption involved in this, but from a deep state, genuine national security perspective, where the CIAs, the FBIs, the NSAs, and others adopt this utilitarian Machiavellian approach where they believe that the end justifies the means, where they believe that it's okay to allow, you know, 3,000 to 4,000 people to die on 9/11 in order to justify protecting the dollar as a global reserve currency in the Middle East. From a genuine national security situation, I can see why the CIA is like, all right, well, if we let Russia control Ukraine, then that's going to empower China and threaten the dollar. Or, oh, if we let Iran defeat Israel, then we're not going to be able to push back in the Middle East to force all of these Middle Eastern countries to trade oil in U.S. dollars. Or if we let China annex Taiwan, then they're going to win the artificial arms race, and then they're still going to have a monopoly on manufacturing the world over into the 21st century, and that's going to propel their Belt and Road Initiative, which is going to give them a trade monopoly in the entire world, which is going to threaten the dollar. I mean, the dollar in Israel, the dollar in Taiwan, the dollar in Ukraine is under an abundance of threat, and we're seeing people go viral on social media talking about how retail costs are insane, and they think it's just because everything's overpriced. You know, people are no longer willing to pay $100 for some trendy yoga pant. I guess that's part of it, but don't you think that maybe some of this inflationary pressure that we're feeling is as a result of the fact that our entire monetary policy is a lie? Our whole entire monetary system is a lie and has been a lie for years, and I don't want to be boring and technical talking about this, but I don't know what else to say about it other than the truth. Which sometimes the truth happens to be very boring. Bueller, Bueller, Bueller. I'm telling you, Bueller, the world is about ready to end because we have lived on a lie. There's a reason that God made the Ten Commandments. There's a reason that you don't break the Big Ten, and those who follow the Big Ten, whether they're secular or religious, whether they're Christian or not, tend to do better than those who don't follow the Big Ten. You don't commit adultery. You take care of your old and dying parents. You don't worship any false gods or false idols. You don't steal anything. And you don't fucking lie. But the dollar itself is a total lie, to the point where I can't even remember the last time that I held physical cash, because now it's not only just phony paper, but it's just phony numbers in a digital system based off of nothing other than war. It's backed by blood. Blood. Thou shalt not kill. We're literally killing to prop up a lie so that we can steal. As we allow our mothers and our fathers and the boomer generations to barely be able to make ends meet in their retirement. We're violating like half of the Ten Commandments just because of our monetary system. It's like a sin begets a sin. It's a lie that begets a lie. Meanwhile, the left is radicalizing and assassinating our influencers and our leaders. There's only question after question to be asked about what the hell actually happened with that. Now I don't even know what to believe whatsoever. And I don't know what the solution is. I believe that I've genuinely successfully identified the primary problem, the primary issue. But then you go and talk about, all right, well, how do we fix the monetary policy? And I don't know how to do it without total creative destruction. I'm talking about Fight Club level destruction of all these institutions. You have to erase the IRS. You have to erase the CIA. You have to erase the Treasury. You have to erase the Federal Reserve. And you have to have something ready for next immediately. In my prayer, my radical hope was that Trump's Golden Dome was going to be a way for us to do this. I was thinking to myself, all right, with this Golden Dome, if there's actually an ability for us to have space-based solar power where we capture solar power 24/7 from satellites in space, beam it down wirelessly to the surface of the planet through rectennas, then we would have a monopoly on infinite energy, and we could force people to license infinite energy from us on the surface of the planet using U.S. dollars. Then we could shift the dollar being backed by oil to the dollar being backed by this energy, and that would eradicate any of our need to be involved in any of these conflicts, whether it was in Taiwan with China, whether it was in Ukraine with Russia, or whether it was in Israel with Iran. When Iran, of course, is just a proxy of China. I mean, we are already in World War III or World War IV, or whatever the hell you want to call it, right now. The only thing is we have this veil that allows us to avoid actually explicitly calling it that or saying it's that. But that's what's happening right now. And it's going to get very, very ugly, very, very fast if we don't do something and wake the hell up. I'm not trying to be preachy or angry here. I'm not even really mad about it. I'm more like scared about it. I'm angry that I've been robbed and lied to and stolen from by my own government for decade after decade after decade. I'm angry that we've had to go to war for decade after decade based on lie after lie. I'm angry that 25% of all the money that I make is stolen by my own government in order to fund wars that are totally unnecessary just so that they can have a monetary system that allows them to inflate the currency so they can not only just take 25% of what I make, but then steal all my buying power as well by printing money after money after money. Dollar after dollar after dollar. I guess I am angry about that. But at this point, now I'm scared because you know what World War III or World War IV looks like for our children? It's ugly. People like to talk about, you know, federal government would never win a civil war against the people of the United States of America. And that's probably true. I don't think that the United States government would win a war against the people of the United States of America. But that doesn't mean that it wouldn't totally suck for us to fight it. That people wouldn't be starved and raped and trafficked and murdered, that there wouldn't be intense and insane poverty, total classes of people, just all of their education eradicated, increases in illiteracy in this country. I mean, we're talking about setting us back hundreds of years. All while our enemies overseas would rapidly develop artificial intelligence more quickly than we can here. And our excuse, our justification, our response to this is that we're going to fund industries or businesses or corporations like Palantir. And we're going to buy TikTok and we're going to put Larry Ellison ahead of it so that we can combat China in terms of its artificial intelligence technology when our own government has no accountability whatsoever. I mean, the CCP winning the AI arms race is terrible, but so is the United States of America winning the AI arms race. Look what they did with Snowden. Look what they did with the Patriot Act. Do you actually want the government to have the same kind of power we're trying to prevent China from having? Because that seems to me like an incredible threat to our national security. Isn't the greatest threat to national security in the United States of America, the government of the United States of America? Folks, we're going to come back on the other side. We've got a short break coming up for the second hour. In the meantime, please go to the AlexJonesStore.com. Take advantage of these incredible deals. We launched the 1997 deal. Because InfoWars was started, launched in 1997. All shirts on the site are $19.97. This is unprecedented. We have an incredible line of products, incredible designs. We've got the InfoWars veterans line. Please show your support. Keep us on the air by going to the AlexJonesStore.com right now. Pick up any of our shirts for just $19.97. This is cheaper than even the shirts you can get on Amazon, folks. We print them here. We ship and fulfill them here. I'm looking out a window right now down on the fulfillment center here where I see dozens of people working frantically every day to fulfill orders. Please keep us on the air. Keep us working. And go to the AlexJonesStore.com, spread the word, and awaken the American people before it's too late.
Every guest we've interviewed in studio, I've given our ultramethylene blue to, and they've all been blown away. Ladies and gentlemen, this isn't hype. All our supplements are great and have amazing health effects, but this one hits 99% of people within 30 minutes, and the long-term effects are even more amazing. So secure your ultramethylene blue now, the most powerful you can get on the market, at theAlexJonesStore.com, and fund the tip of the spear in the fight for liberty and supercharge your own personal life. Believe me, if you don't take action and get it, you will never know how amazing it is. Over 99% of people have had incredible effects. You owe it to yourself right now to try ultramethylene blue, exclusively available at theAlexJonesStore.com.
Hey Chase, good to talk to you again. I wanted to do a quick plug on the methylene blue, on the long-term effects that it had on me. Back in 2020, I got COVID. My brother and my dad both have eczema. After I got COVID, it must have, it opened that dormant cell in my body or whatever. So I've been dealing with eczema ever since 2020. And the long-term effects of the methylene blue, 99% gone.
That's absolutely incredible. I'm so happy. Have your relatives tried it too to see the same effect?
I have been trying to get my brother to take it and he's skeptical, but I'll tell you what, I got four bottles sitting on my table. I think I'm just going to give him one. And I think if I just give it to him, I think he'll eventually try it.
Yeah, that's a good move.
leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order. It's Alex Jones. From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
Man, I gotta tell you, Obama really has some big balls when it comes to gaslighting. He created the Countering Foreign Disinformation Act before he left office in 2016, literally setting up the CIA and the Justice Department to spy on the American people, to weaponize elections, to put people in jail, and to engage in domestic propaganda and lie. It's all on record. They've had all congressional hearings. I first broke it along with Zero Hedge back in 2016. And here he is going, oh, we've seen the attacks on speech. Oh, talking about Jimmy Kimmel. Jimmy Kimmel was let go because he has low ratings. They brought him back as a stunt. Trump wasn't involved in that. That was all lies. These are the people that literally deplatformed me, that put so many of our people in prison. We know about their reign of terror. We know about all the censorship. We know about all the things they've done at the colleges, saying white people aren't allowed to come to the college this weekend. This is all divide and conquer mind control. And then he's got the nerve to say, we're seeing the great tyranny. You won't even say names in Europe. And he's talking about Orban. He's talking about others, places like Hungary and Poland. Oh, we're seeing real bad over here because they're going after Soros and his foundations that manipulate internal politics and literally steal elections and put in their judges and their prosecutors, just like they do here. So he's over there. I'm meeting with these European leaders who are countering this great evil that's going on we all know about. But he can't even give you examples because there's nothing. Everything they do is what they then blame us for. Do I need to list all the censorship? Do I need to list all the control? Do I need to list all our people they put in prison? Do I need to list all the deplatforming, the debanking, and what Keir Starmer's doing? Where if you're seen drinking two Coca-Colas in public, they have a regulation, so they take you into the police station. I'm not kidding. If you pray outside 200 feet from an abortion clinic silently, you go to jail. If you say you don't like trans-targeting kids, you go to jail. 2-3 years in prison. You expose Muslim grooming gangs, prison, 4-year, 5-year prison sentences. And this is all a unified globalist plan. Canada's passing laws right now that if they think you might say something wrong, you go to jail for up to 6 months or a ankle bracelet. They have a special government boards that will decide, little commie boards. Oh, we think you might say something wrong, so you're sent to the gulag. This is all coordinated from Australia to Germany to the U.S. It's all these leftist NGOs, the ADL, the Southern Poverty Law Center, all have their counterparts over there. And then Obama is sitting here with the nerve to talk about all this ominous threat and it's affecting us all like we're seeing here in America now. Yeah, you. The public's awake to you. You need to be in prison for what you've done and the treason you've engaged in. Your minions are getting indicted, and you're going to get your presidency stripped posthumously with a retroactive impeachment, which you can do, and your ass is going to prison, or all the criminals will think that they're basically invincible. So this isn't about vengeance. This is about survival and justice. You're the criminals. You're the tyrants. You're the totalitarians. You're the thugs. You're the people that more closely resemble Nazis than anything in our liberty movement. We're populist, pro-freedom humans that are proud of the West and proud of capitalism and love God. And that's a fact. And Barack Obama stands for the exact opposite of that, all Hillary Clinton, the rest of them. And your power is over. Everybody hates your guts. And you will pay for the crimes you've committed against humanity.
Like many of you, I've become increasingly concerned about the rising wave of authoritarianism sweeping the globe. We're seeing politicians target civil society, undermine freedom of the press, weaponize the justice system, and no one is being spared. Even countries that thought they were immune from wholesale assaults on democracy now understand we're all part of this struggle. That's an enormous challenge. But it also means we can learn from each other. I recently sat down with three leaders who are part of the Obama Foundation's alumni network to discuss their work in Hungary and Poland, two countries on the leading edge of confronting autocracy. People like Stefania, Sandor, and Susanna, they give me hope. And it's why a big part of our mission here at the Foundation is to connect, inspire, and empower leaders like them. All three of you have been fighting the good fight and rising up in the face of significant challenges to try to strengthen democracy. And so you're setting an example for all of us in the United States, here in the UK.
Democracy is something to be practiced regularly. We need people to be engaged and to be empowered for them to feel the ownership of the country, that it's theirs, right, and not to give it away to someone.
Ladies and gentlemen, Ultimate Sea Moss has been by far and away our best-selling product on the AlexJonesStore.com when we launched it some months ago. Now, we've had a hard time keeping the gummies in stock, so we formulated the capsules while we wait on more gummies to come in. Now, Irish Sea Moss is something that's known to be incredible for your body because of the natural iodine that exists in it. It's not just any iodine. It's also abundantly bioavailable. Now, if you don't know, iodine is incredible for your health and supports your body's ability to detoxify itself. Check out Ultimate Sea Moss capsules right now at the AlexJonesStore.com. Not only are you fighting for your health, your immunity, and your body's ability to detoxify itself, but you're fighting for humanity as well by keeping Alex Jones on the air, InfoWars on the air, and this crew operating to broadcast the truth worldwide wherever it is being censored. Just like your body is under relentless assault and needs Ultimate Sea Moss capsules in order to fight off all the toxins that you're met with, so is InfoWars under assault and needs the audience. So go to the AlexJonesStore.com right now and subscribe for Ultimate Sea Moss capsules every month.
From the tip of the spear to the edge of tomorrow, here's what happens next from your host, Chase Geiser.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I am your host for the remainder of the transmissions this evening. In about 40 minutes or so, I will be taking your calls, so make sure you keep those phones close by. We're going to do calls for an hour tonight, and then Rex Jones is going to be joining us in studio for the final hour of the transmission. But, I mean, watching that Obama report, the last segment, I'm sitting here watching it, and I'm hearing Obama lean in as if he's so interested in protecting democracy. And that woman at the end is, hey, people just want to feel like they own their own country. I know in the back of his head, he's like, look, I love the idea of international globalist imperialism, international globalist tyranny. I love the rise of dictatorships overseas. There's nothing that the left loves more than dictatorship, both domestically and overseas. One of the reasons they love it so much overseas is that a dictator is so much easier to control than a democracy. It's so much easier to control what's happening in a Libya or an Iraq or an Afghanistan or Ukraine, for example, if there's a dictator. I mean, the fact that Ukraine is just a cutout of the CIA, just a cutout of the United States of America, from a government standpoint, is outstanding. Can you imagine if Ukraine was actually a democracy, what a threat to national security to the United States of America that would be, because their people would be voting to end the war immediately. That's why they had to shut down all the elections. Barack Obama has the audacity to go up and criticize lack of freedom of the press, internationally speaking, and the rise of tyranny, internationally speaking, when Zelensky himself, Voldemort Zelensky himself, shuts down all of the press outlets, seizes all of the control of the press in his own nation, even going so far as to not allow state media to speak in the Russian language. So many of their citizens actually speak Russian, you know. And then cancels all of elections. There's nothing that our government hates more than so-called democracy. And frankly, democracy itself totally sucks. Rule of the mob totally sucks. The leading cause of tyranny is democracy. It always has been throughout history. No democracy really even makes it over 300 years, historically speaking. We never really see that. Now, a constitutional republic, it's yet to be seen how good that's going to do. It's yet to be seen what the results of our constitutional republic are going to be. But even that seems to be waning with the same rapidity of democracy internationally. We don't want the mob making decisions. You want representatives being elected. That's where the people come in. And then you want the constitution of whatever nation is being represented to uphold the individual rights. There's no mob that can vote to overrule my right to carry arms, to bear arms. I was thinking about this the other day. Right to bear arms shall not be infringed. That just went right out the window because, you know, most people are uncomfortable with the notion that you can carry a gun into a bar. I see the Gateway Pundit even today talking about how there was a shooting at a bar, a brawl at a bar. And I'm thinking to myself, you know what? That doesn't even bother me. Of course, murder is terrible. Violence is terrible. But if I had the right to bring a gun to a bar, I feel a lot safer. Because if some moron pulls one out, at least I have a chance at defending myself. I mean, whatever happened to 19th century America, late 1800s, the Wild West? We like to celebrate these Clint Eastwood movies, even comedies like Three Amigos, video games like Red Dead Redemption,
where you carried your sidearm with you everywhere you went. You could throw your lever action over your shoulder, walk in, grab a handful of almonds from the bar table, and order a whiskey or a beer. The only two things on the menu, maybe a lamb chop if you're in a sheep town. Sounds absolutely incredible to me. Why is it that I can't go to a Buffalo Wild Wings and order a beer and have my gun on my hip? Gay. It's so gay. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but I mean, why did we become fags? Right to bear arms shall not be infringed. Constitutional right. Recognition that when I came out of the womb, God had bestowed upon me the right to defend myself. Sometimes? No, I don't think so. And I know Jesus said, those who live by the sword die by the sword. But you don't have to live by the sword to die by it, do you? Just look at what's happening in Gaza. Look at what's happening in Ukraine. Look at what's about to happen in Taiwan. Look at what happened in Germany or France or Poland during World War II. You don't have to live by the sword to die by it. How many of the 30 million people, 40, 50 million people, hundreds of millions in some estimates of people who died because of this forced inoculation that took place with these vaccines during the pandemic, how many of those were living by the sword? They died by the jab. Those who live by the jab die by the jab. No, the pen is mightier than the sword. But you don't have to live by the pen to die by it either. Just look at the politicians who have legislated us into insanity. I want to show you this clip of Kamala Harris. She's absolutely a lunatic. Let's watch.
Question from someone who has a very unique insight into President Trump, Hillary Rodham Clinton.
Good.
Take a look. Oh.
Hello, Kamala.
Jesus.
Well, I know that you're on stage with Kara Swisher, and I want to know this. I debated Trump 3 times. You debated him once. He wouldn't debate you again. We beat him 4 times. Do you think we're the reason he is so unhinged today?
She enjoyed doing that.
We have in this president the most, not one of, the most callous, corrupt, and incompetent individuals that has ever occupied that White House. And unhinged is the least of the concerns that I have, but it ranks right up there. And you know, the debate, look, I mean, okay, so part of it is, we get to Philly and my team, they're getting me ready and they're like, hey boss, so we saw Donald Trump coming off the plane, coming to the debate, and Laura Loomer was on the plane with him.
No.
And so they basically say to me, we didn't tell you, but she's been talking about people eating cats and dogs. And I was like, what? And they said, we think we need to tell you because his propensity is to say the last thing he heard. And sure enough, on the debate stage, he said it. He said it.
And you were ready.
Believe it.
Yeah.
I was prepped, but not really.
All right. So we just watched an entire clip of Kamala Harris. There was some Hillary Clinton sprinkled in there. There was a crowd in there. I had a moderator in there. What was the point of the clip? Was anything actually said? Did anything actually come from it whatsoever? This is why she lost. Hillary Clinton likes to say, oh, you know, we debated him so many times and he didn't have the courage to debate you again. But the only thing that Hillary Clinton and Kamala Harris have in common, other than like Major Dyke vibes sitting there like this, is that they both lost to Donald Trump in every way imaginable, in every way that matters whatsoever. New, even CNN's Abby Phillip calls out Obama for not crediting Trump on Israel-Hamas peace deal. This has been the breaking story. She says, quote, honestly, it's not fair to say if President Obama is going to write a whole post about a peace deal, maybe he should acknowledge the president that brokered it. We'll wait and see. We'll see if there's actually peace. And look, I like President Trump. I'm not trying to be a poo-poo here. I'm not trying to be negative here. I like Trump. I think he's doing a 7 out of 10 job. But we've given him an impossible task. We have given him the responsibility of solving all the problems which are fundamentally systemic, to use a leftist word. I don't mean systemic like systemic racism, but we've given him the task of trying to fix a foreign policy, which is based on a monetary system, which basically guarantees that we're going to have the same foreign policy issues 100 years from now, if we're even still drawing breath on the surface of a radiated planet by then. And look, I know Kash Patel is saying the cute things sometimes, and I know Pam Bondi is just adored and loved by the President of the United States, and I saw her sitting there in that hearing with Nick Sordor, who is actually an American hero, by the way. Nick Sordor, 100% an American hero, total badass InfoWars host. I can't believe the headlines totally disregarded the fact that InfoWars host, Nick Sordor, who hosts the Sunday show on Sunday afternoons, by the way, does an outstanding job, was mobbed by Antifa for saving a burning flag and then arrested by Portland police for saving said burning flag, shows up to this press hearing with Trump after he's declared that Antifa is a terrorist organization, which of course it is, and it was really smart the way that it was done and the way Stephen Miller strategized it, where for a period of time you called a domestic terrorist organization. When that sits in, there's no legal implications of that. That sits in, and then you drop it a few months later that it's actually an international terrorist organization. You tie in the connections of the funding from the Marxist organizations, the Soroses, the CCP and others. And then boom, now you actually have real legal precedence. Now you have a real way to RICO these people who are 100% not only fags, but felons in every way that the term is supposed to mean. Nick Sordor is sitting there and Donald Trump says, you know, a flag thing really made you famous. Pam Bondi says he was already famous. And she's right. But even when she says something I agree with, I cringe now. Because I know that she's so full of shit. I don't think she's trying to be. I know that she's probably a sweetheart. I can't know that really. 99% sure she's a sweetheart with good intentions. But then I see the clips of her talking about the red flag laws and guns and things like that. And I see clips of her standing up for, I don't know, censoring people on campuses in the United States of America. And I see this ramping up of domestic terrorism rhetoric, and I see the Palantir deals. I see what's happening with this artificial intelligence race, and there's no way that this ends well if it keeps going the way that it's going. And I'm not blaming Trump. The difference between Trump is when he makes a mistake, I lovingly push back. It's not like a Joe Biden or a Barack Obama or even a George Bush. When they were making mistakes, it was just because they were corrupt, incompetent, or retarded. When Trump makes a mistake, it's because he's got corrupt, incompetent, and retarded people that he's listening to. And I know that the buck stops with the President of the United States, but let's just watch this clip right here on CNN, them talking about giving credit where credit's due. Let's see.
Obama put out this post talking about the peace deal and the prospects of it, and Don Jr. responded to it. I'll finish it for you. Thank you, Donald Trump. It's honestly not unfair to say if President Obama's going to write a whole post about a peace deal, maybe he should acknowledge the president that brokered it. President Obama.
Yeah, well, that makes sense to me. Makes sense to you? But if the hostages are still gone, then I guess there's not really peace yet. We know that Israel doesn't give a damn about peace deals whatsoever, because remember the viral clip of Donald Trump saying that Netanyahu doesn't know what the fuck he's doing? After this peace deal with Iran and Israel was brokered, agreed upon, there were still ballistics that were being fired from Israel, just massive escalation, massive BS associated with that. We still don't have the hostages back, so there's a peace deal brokered. Why is it that there's still not hostages back? Why is it that we're seeing rhetoric now from Bibi Netanyahu that we've got a ballistic missile problem now from Iran? Now that their nuclear program has been set back, now we've got to worry about the 8,000 ballistic missiles. And please, for the love of God, tell me, how is this long-term peace sustainable in the region if we still have a currency that's totally dependent on oil being traded in dollars? And frankly, I believe that Donald Trump does deserve a Nobel Peace Prize. Immediately stop that conflict between India and Pakistan, both nuclear powers. That could have been terrible. Immediately stop the war with Israel and Iran. Brilliant. Has still succeeded in preventing the war between Taiwan and China from manifesting, though I think that's inevitable as well. The only thing he's really failed to do in terms of peace accomplishments is successfully stop this conflict from occurring between Zelensky and Russia. But he's got China and Russia that want it to keep going. He's got Zelensky who wants it to keep going. He's got the entire deep state of the United States of America that wants this conflict to keep going for the reasons that I described in the first hour of the show today, because they understand that if Ukraine's agriculture is diverted to China, then that's World War III, baby, or World War IV. You consider World War III already having happened in the information war, or just still in flux, still kinetic. So look, I'm excited about peace. I like the notion of innocent people and children not dying anymore. That's great. Good job, Trump. But we've got Trump for 2.5 more years, 3 more years, something like that. What's going to happen in 2028? Well, Chase, we just have to make sure the Democrats don't win. Okay, what if Mike Johnson wins? What if Lindsey Graham wins? Not saying that he would. What if Dan Crenshaw, by some punishment from God, becomes president of the United States of America? That myopic cuck. Then what? Because Republicans obviously aren't the solution. Maybe they're the final solution. No pun intended. No pun totally intended, actually. But there is no Donald Trump 2.0. Maybe Don Jr.? Maybe Barron in 15 years, 17 years, whatever. Hell, I'll be 35 this month. Maybe I ought to run. Oh, my God. What a disaster that would be. I want long-term solutions. Because the founding fathers, if they taught us anything, they taught us the importance of establishing policies, laws, and principles that would be so strong, so impermeable, that 300 years later, corruption and evil would still be having a hard time getting through around it. And though the Second Amendment has been infringed incessantly, I still have a gun. And I know I should be able to carry it into a bar or wherever I want, or into school or on a campus. I should be able to carry my gun with me wherever, because my right to bear arms shall not be infringed, and I have a right to defend myself no matter what. I understand that, that it has certainly been infringed, but I still own one because the policies from 300 years ago were so impermeable, so strong, so explicit in their nature, not only in by virtue of the law themselves, but by virtue of all the text that was surrounding them and all the explanations that were surrounding them. And all the precedents that's been established by our system, which is supposed to reinforce our rights rather than erode our rights. And I'm seeing these solutions here from the Trump administration. God bless them. I love the executive orders, but executive orders can be reversed by executive orders. And he spent his whole first week basically undoing everything that the Biden administration did that they couldn't get passed in Congress or the Senate. Because the Biden administration then would lean on executive orders, and then Donald Trump would just say, nope, not that one anymore. Nope, not that one anymore. So we're going to have these temporary pieces, P-E-A-C-E-S, this temporary peace. That's great because it's a short-term solution, but how do we prevent this from happening over and over again? Because I guarantee you it's not going to be all just love and harmony and singing and dancing between the Palestinians and the Israelis into the future, unless we have a total shift in what backs the strength of our currency, a total shift in the CIA, the FBI, the IRS, the Treasury, the NSA. Our entire deep state needs to be totally dismantled and rebuilt with accountability built in. We don't need to update the operating system. We need to build an entirely new operating system. One that doesn't sell out the interests of the American people on basically every front that you could possibly imagine. One that keeps people like Trevor Noah from being able to have influence on our culture and our policies. Let's watch this. It's unbelievable.
Comedians are shitting themselves. Don't say anything about Charlie Kirk. I wasn't going to say anything about, yeah, but don't say anything about Charlie. I wasn't going to say anything about Charlie Kirk, but don't. There's nothing funny about it. Oh, now you tested me. I mean, there's nothing funny about it. You can't say there's nothing funny about it. No, there's nothing funny. No, don't say that, because as a comedian, I'll be like, I'm sure there's something funny about it. The guy was shot while defending guns. Do you understand how... I'm not even writing that as a joke. As a human, you have to admit that is an incongruous, funny thing that happens. You are there on, you're like on stage. You're like, let me tell you why people should have.
These are the people that would mock the assassination of Charlie Kirk. I wouldn't mock the assassination of a leftist. I wouldn't call for the assassination of a leftist. These Trevor Noahs. And the funny thing is they're foreign too. So many of them. They come on with their foreign accents, laughing about American politics. The only reason American politics are relevant to Trevor Noah is because America has traditionally been better than everywhere else. Superior culture, superior innovation, superior religious practices, superior political practices, superior economic practices, up until we just totally screwed up our entire currency in 1913, which culminated in Great Depression, World War I, World War II, Vietnam, Iraq, Afghanistan, Libya. You really want to get in the weeds, even the pandemics and the pharmaceutical companies, which are just hijacking everywhere to the point where 1 in 12 boys right now in California has autism because they circumcise them when they're born, they pump them full of Tylenol, and then they pump them full of vaccines incessantly until the age of like 21. We wonder why 1 in 12 people running around are retarded in the United States of America. You wonder why people just can't drive anymore. You're driving down the road, no turn signal, then they're turning, and they have their turn signal on when they're going straight, then they're honking at you even though you're the one doing the right thing. Unbelievable levels of retarded happening in the United States of America right now. And it's because of the Trevor Noahs and others. I want systemic solutions that go beyond this current Trump administration. Trump has been doing a very good job of reacting and handling things as they are. But the problem is the system itself is fundamentally flawed. We have to actually change and correct the system. Even if we assigned the Archangel Gabriel to run the FBI would still suck massive cock. Even if we assigned the Archangel Michael to run the CIA would still suck an abundance of cocks just everywhere. There is no correct leadership. Even if we assigned Jesus Christ himself to run the Department of Justice, if he made no changes to the actual Department of Justice, even though he would make every correct and moral decision as the leader of the Department of Justice, it's still the Department of Justice unless we fundamentally change the system from the ground up. It's just cocks and retards and fags everywhere. Forever. Unless we make fundamental changes to these institutions. Fundamental changes to these institutions that transcend generations, that transcend lifetimes. We have to do the work that Alex Jones has been doing for 30 years, transcending generations. He said time and time again that his purpose is to become irrelevant, unnecessary, that his purpose is to weaponize the Great Awakening, the awakened people of the United States of America and of the world, to enlighten people as to what is really going on so that we can win the information war and therefore win any other conflict or lie or issue or obstacle that is manifesting between good and evil itself. The information war started in the Garden of Eden with the deception of the snake, and it's been going on incessantly all the way through Christ, all the way through Caesar, all the way through the Middle Ages, all the way through the founding of the country, all the way through Vietnam, all the way through today and everything that's going on. We are in the midst of the most climactic moments of the information war, and we must achieve total victory that transcends generations, because temporary problems are just that. They're temporary. Unless we have some sort of a final solution to all of the issues that we're faced right now, then it's just cute when somebody does the right thing instead of actually meaningful. And that's why we need your support right now at thealexjonesstore.com. We need you to help us bolster transcendent solutions, divine solutions, generational solutions to the corruption and evil that we're faced today. And the best way you can do that is by going now to thealexjonesstore.com. There's 1 week left to win both the incredible giveaways, the Corvette and the new Jeep, plus $20,000 in cash. Support us right now and stay with us. Ladies and gentlemen, Ultimate Sambucus is available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. Now, Sambucus is a fancy word for elderberry. This elderberry concoction is mixed with vitamin C and zinc. It's gummies. They're absolutely delicious. I take two of them every single day as prescribed by the directions on the bottle. Helps with things like healthy stress levels, antioxidant immune support. It promotes respiratory health, seasonal support, and it's GMO and gluten-free. Now, not only with Ultimate Sambucus gummies are you getting a delicious way to fight for your immune system, but you're keeping InfoWars
on the air. We know that Alex Jones is under relentless attack. We know that InfoWars and this crew are under relentless attack as well. And it's not just us they're coming after. Frankly, it's you. They want to silence you. They want to kill your health. They want to kill your mind. And they want to subjugate you under a new world order government. So as far as I'm concerned, by going to thealexjonesstore.com and getting Ultimate Sambuca's gummies, you are not only fighting for your health, but you're fighting against the new world order in the most effective way possible. Please go to thealexjonesstore.com right now.
Every guest we've interviewed in studio, I've given our ultramethylene blue to, and they've all been blown away. Ladies and gentlemen, this isn't hype. All our supplements are great and have amazing health effects, but this one hits 99% of people within 30 minutes, and the long-term effects are even more amazing. So secure your ultramethylene blue now, the most powerful you can get on the market, at thealexjonesstore.com, and fund the tip of the spear in the fight for liberty and supercharge your own personal life. Believe me, if you don't take action and get it, you will never know how amazing it is. Over 99% of people have had incredible effects. You owe it to yourself right now to try Ultramethylene Blue, exclusively available at thealexjonesstore.com. Our medical grade USP Ultramethylene Blue, exclusively at thealexjonesstore.com, has taken the country by storm. You've seen the rave reviews. All of our guests that have taken it have been blown away. Zen, clarity, focus, like a fog has lifted. It's not a stimulant, but it feels like one with no letdown. But the best part is it's so good for your cells, so good for your mitochondria. It's incredible. Now we have it in sealed capsules with organic vitamin C to supercharge it as well. Get a 1 month supply so you can travel with it. Talk to your physicians before you take it, because it's very, very powerful. It can interact with some drugs. But after you've done your research, get your ultramethylene blue either in liquid or now in capsules exclusively at thealexjonesstore.com, and it funds our operations. And if you subscribe, you can lock in 50% off right now on all future orders and cancel anytime. Take action now at thealexjonesstore.com. Become a subscriber and lock in 50% off on top of the already incredible savings. Thealexjonesstore.com is the destination of health, liberty, and freedom.
My friends know that I usually think everything's a scam, from supplements and products and vitamins. I don't take anything. I usually buy it, try it, don't feel the results, end up tossing it and wasting money. So I love Alex Jones and the InfoWars crew, and Alex kept playing this video of Robert Kennedy Jr. putting some blue drops in what looked like water. And I wanted a way to support the team, so I decided to buy this methylene blue. This methylene blue, it is tremendous. I would not be making this video if I didn't believe in it. After I take it throughout the day, I start feeling better and better and better. My workouts, I feel like I'm 15 years younger than I am. And the app that I record my running on proves that my workouts are getting better. So I gotta tell you what, God, family, country, InfoWars, and methylene blue. Get it while you can.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.
Listening to an InfoWars.com frontline report. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I am Chase Geiser, your host this evening. I will start taking your calls in about 24 minutes. We've got one more segment of news to go through and then calls. Then, of course, Rex Jones is going to be joining us in the final hour of the transmission this evening. In the meantime, I do want to show you this clip from Sunday Morning Futures with Maria Bartiromo.
Welcome back. Now, reaction on Wednesday. Former FBI Director Jim Comey pleaded not guilty to federal charges of making false statements to Congress and obstruction. Meanwhile, New York Attorney General Letitia James was indicted by a federal grand jury in Virginia on bank fraud charges for allegedly making false statements on a mortgage application that netted her about $19,000. Joining me now with more on all of this is Matt Taibbi. He is editor-in-chief of Racket News, and Mike Davis. He is president of the Article 3 Project. Gentlemen, thank you so much for being here. Let me first get your reaction to all of this. Matt Taibbi.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Comey case, especially with the Crossfire Hurricane investigation, all the Crossfire investigations, I thought at the time those should have been enormous Watergate-level stories because it was about surveillance of a major party presidential candidate. Now I think in conjunction with Arctic Frost, you have all these senators who are finally seeing that domestic political surveillance has been a major unreported problem in this country for a long time.
Wow. Well, yeah, we just spoke with a senator who was really affected. Bill Hagerty was tracked, and he said it happened to him three times. Mike, is all of this connected? We've been covering, obviously, the Russia collusion lie for a decade, and my viewers are well aware that it was fake from day one. But do you think this is all connected, and is this enough to create a conspiracy charge against Jim Comey and his friends who were part of that cabal?
Yeah, those indictments we just saw for Comey and Tish James are the appetizer indictments. And the big one, the main course, is going to be the conspiracy against rights under 18 U.S.C. Section 241. I've publicly called for this for the last three-plus years since the Mar-a-Lago raid. Remember this with the Russian collusion hoax. The Democrats made this up to help Hillary Clinton's campaign to cover up her corruption and to take out presidential candidate Donald Trump. They failed. President Trump went into office, and so they tried to destroy him while he was in office, and they tried to destroy him with the lawfare because he declassified Crossfire Hurricane before he left office the first time.
And you believe that the Mar-a-Lago raid was also part of it. They were actually looking for the assessment of Russia's influence campaign targeting the 2016 presidential election. It was declassified. I have it right here. Do you believe that's what they were looking for?
1,000%. And those people who did this raid, like Jay Bratz and others, they did this to cover up their own corruption. This is the biggest scandal in American history. They politicized and weaponized intel agencies and law enforcement to take out their political enemy. This is third world stuff. And I would say to these lawfare Democrats, justice is definitely coming.
Matt, this is all pretty extraordinary.
It is, but I think we're now finally seeing the proper perspective on it. I agree with Mr. David.
Well, there you have it, folks. What have they possibly said you didn't already know? I'm pleased to see that we've got this massive assault on the Letitia Jameses and the James Comeys, and I believe from the core of my soul that there will be more indictments of the Brennans and the others, and this is absolutely wonderful. Now, I don't think it's even remotely accurate to say that we're becoming like the left because we're engaged in this lawfare. But what really pisses me off about it is that this has been happening for much longer than we ever thought. It just had to happen to a president of the United States for anyone in the government or the party to take any notice. I mean, you realize that James Comey put InfoWars under a Type 3 FBI assessment within 90 days of becoming the director of the FBI. On December 10th of 2013, a Type 3 human intelligence assessment where the field office of Boston has spied on InfoWars, all of its employees, all of its financial transactions, allowed to follow us around in public, which has happened for over 10 years. There's no evidence whatsoever that this investigation, this so-called human intelligence gathering operation, has stopped. I've heard nothing from Kash Patel on it. I've even texted about it. No evidence whatsoever. Meanwhile, InfoWars is facing imminent shutdown. We've got the Supreme Court allegedly hearing our case on Tuesday because Monday's Columbus Day. Supposed to hear it on Friday. They pushed it to Tuesday. Maybe they got a little behind schedule. 5 to 10% chance that they actually even hear the case, that they even agree to hear the case. But this lawfare has been waged against the American people incessantly. And not just since 2013, but the espionage of InfoWars. But going all the way back to the Patriot Act, I don't want to beat the dead horse and talk about Edward Snowden and everything you already know about them listening to you through the microphones and your smart devices or watching you through the webcams and all of your devices. You already know that. They're reading your emails. They're reading your texts. They're scanning your calls. From a digital standpoint in the information war, I mean, they are gathering all the information that they are not disclosing to us. totally disproportionate power structure here, totally unhinged amount of leverage that they have in terms of information in the information war, where they know everything about us, but they reveal nothing about themselves to us, even though they're supposed to be working for us, and we have to pay them to spy on us. FBI, CIA, through our taxes, you get it. And it's great that James Comey is finally facing some backlash. It's great that Letitia James, they finally found some technicality on some white collar crime with the way that she set up the mortgages or whatever for property. It's great that they're probably going to come after the Brennans and maybe even the Clintons and others. I agree with that. It's great. I'm so glad Trump is doing that. But where the hell is the justice for those of us as the American people who have been victims of this entire establishment? And I'm not complaining about Trump or to Trump. I'm just complaining in general about what we have as far as our systems are concerned. Because like I said in the last segment, Trump is doing everything correctly in terms of putting band-aids on these problems, but I want to see fundamental systematic change, systemic change. I don't want some retard to come into office in 28, whether he's a Republican or a Democrat, she, I guess, too. Oh, God. And just undo all the progress that's been made because there was no success in fundamentally changing the systems here. Why is it that we have to wait until a president has been the victim of the weaponization of our own institutions, whether it's the DOJ or the FBI or the CIA? Why is it that there's no justice when we, the people, are the victims of the system? When the FBI engages in type 3 assessments of organizations as human intelligence gathering operations so they can just take that information and then try to get a civil suit leveraged against us or anyone else involved. You gather all the data, all the financial transactions, just waiting for a crime to occur so they can then have some third party sue in a civil court. And just like what Alex was saying at the beginning of this transmission with what happened to Mike Lindell, where now there's a default judgment against Mike Lindell where a judge has found him guilty and now he's only going to get a jury to find out if there was any malice and how much money that he has. Exactly what happened to Alex Jones in InfoWars. $1.2 billion. Unbelievable levels of corruption. And meanwhile, we have to just talk about things like this. Let's watch.
So obnoxious being called America last and being told that I'm not really American or that I'm America last. It really honestly just makes me want to go live a quiet, peaceful life, not give up. But, you know, it's just so toxic. And I used to think to myself, wow, if somebody were to shoot and kill me someday or somebody were to attack me or, you know, cause severe bodily harm, I used to think that it would be a Muslim. But now with the level of like death threats and hate mail that I get from people online who are like these wannabe Hitler youth posters posting actual neo-Nazi content, part of me wonders that maybe I'll be killed or shot or killed or stabbed to death by a neo-Nazi. Who knows? I used to think that it would be a Muslim, but now part of me is wondering if it's going to be this new generation of radicalized people on the internet who have just been totally consumed by this like Jew obsession from podcasters that all they want to talk about is Jews. Like it's rainy outside. It's the Jews. My dog had diarrhea today. It's the Jews. My tea, it was too hot. It burned my tongue. It's the Jews. I mean, it seems like there really is this new breed of podcaster or investigative journalists, as they like to call themselves, that just wants to blame the Jews for everything. And it's like, when do we just stop talking about it? When do we get to go back to normal and talk about other issues? I don't know. Hopefully soon. Because it's really exhausting. And I think I'd be lying if I said I wasn't tired of it. I
mean, yeah. Well, how can you say anything about Laura Loomer without getting loomered? I mean, she's right. We are hyper-focused on the Jews. And though Israel is a problem, I'm more offended, not that Israel is trying to bribe our leaders, but that our leaders are willing and able to sell out without any accountability. But this notion that Qatar is some massive threat to our national security, because we're allowing them to create a military base within an existing United States military base in the United States of America so we can train like 300 of their pilots so we can have more efficacy in the region overseas. Qatar doesn't have the right airspace over there to train. And if we're going to be cooperating with Qatar from a military standpoint, this seems to me like diversification away from our reliance on Israel and a step toward peace in the Middle East, that we have another ally in the region that we trust. Since obviously Israel can't be trusted. And so we're going to allow 300 other pilots to train here in the United States of America. And everybody's acting like this is something akin to the United States having military bases all over the world after World War II. Now we're being invaded by Qatar. And Qatar is just totally taking over all of our institutions here in the United States of America. They've just totally hijacked all the education institutions in the United States, and their money's doing everything in this. Air Force One deal is just a nightmare, and the fact that we're allowing them to train 300 of their pilots in the United States of America is just the invasion of the United States, when the invasion of the United States was the 30, 40, 50 million people that came in illegally from South America and Central America over the past decades. Specifically the past 5 years. We've been invaded by more people than Ukraine in the last 5 years. Nobody's talking about some massive violation of our sovereignty like they are about Ukraine's sovereignty, because it has nothing to do with the national security interests of the deep state. The deep state loves the fact that the United States of America has been invaded by foreigners, because they understand that we have a massive population crisis in the United States, and they want all these foreigners to come in to bolster up the labor force so they have tax revenue into the future. They love this replacement migration that they have catalyzed, and Israel loves it too. But I'm telling you, our problems in the United States of America are much more to do with the corruption of our own deep state and our own politicians than they are to do with the corruption of Israel, though Israel is a major problem. Our problems in the United States of America have much less to do with the corruption of Volodymyr Zelensky than they do with our own deep state, which runs and operates Volodymyr Zelensky. We're not waiting for Zelensky to make the right decision or do the right things. We tell him exactly what to do. Whenever you see President Trump arguing or debating with Zelensky, he's not arguing or debating with Zelensky. He's arguing and debating with our own deep state. Zelensky is just the personification of how that deep state operates overseas. And I know Netanyahu's a cuck and a fag and a retard and a fucking maniac. I understand all that stuff. I get it. I'm not denying it. I know we have a massive problem with overrepresentation of Israeli interests in our own government and our own culture and in Hollywood. I agree with all those sentiments and statements. I have all the same problems. I don't like the fact that our greatest ally in the region, if you were to sit down with any of them and ask them if they believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and the Messiah, they would all say no. I don't like dealing with people who incessantly deny Christ. I'm a Christian. I'm a citizen of the kingdom of God, even before I'm a citizen of the United States of America. A Christian before an American, certainly. But those are the top two: Christian, American, father, husband, then everything else. And there's so many people that just suck Israeli cock all day, kiss Israeli ass all day long. And I'm sick of it. Just like I'm sick of those who kiss Ukraine on the behind, or Taiwan, or India. And look, we talked about this a little bit. I talked about this a little bit earlier this week. You want to talk about H-1B visas? We've got 500,000 people in the United States of America here on H-1B visas. There's like, what, 4 million to 6 million open jobs that we can't fill. The problem is we don't have any STEM education here in the United States, because we've had DEI and woke BS and Common Core, which is making people do math with like woke parables instead of math with numbers and lines and systems that have worked ever since Pythagoras. Ever since Pythagoras, we've been doing math correctly. Now we're going to start jumbling it up and jarbling it up. And you wonder why we don't have a labor force that can do these jobs. And look, here's the other error too. It's not even that the Indians can do it. I mean, if the Indians were so valuable, then why wouldn't we be instituting a blockade right now to ensure that China couldn't steal as many Indians as possible? Why is it that China doesn't have a need to import 500,000 or a million Indians through its own version of H-1B visas so they can win the artificial intelligence arms race? Why is it that China feels like they have the intellectual capacity just domestically with their own homogenous culture and institutions to beat us in the artificial intelligence arms race without India? I mean, if India is just so valuable and all these dots running around are just so wonderful and great at math and science and computer science and development and engineering and artificial intelligence, why is it that we don't have to have a blockade to keep China from stealing all of them? Why aren't we seeing an Operation Paperclip 2.0? Operation Paperknot 2.0, where we're vying and bidding in a bidding war with China for as many of the Indians as possible. No, we can't let China have that one. That one's so good. Just like we couldn't have the Russians stealing that Nazi scientist. That one's so good. We're going to pay that one to come over here to NASA. We're going to get that one. We're going to just totally forget it. We'll change his name. We'll put him in a kind of a form of witness protection where nobody even knows that he was, you know, operating on a base that was just gassing people or whatever. We did this whole Operation Paperclip because we understood from a national security apparatus that we had to have the Nazi intellect and the Nazi engineering and the Nazi technological development after World War II. Why is it that nobody except the United States of America is aggressively going after as many Indians as possible? I don't get it. Maybe they suck. I've managed Indian developers before. You have to hold their hand through everything. They always say yes. They can do something, even when they can't do it. Then when they don't do it, wait, sorry, we could not do it technically that way. Why didn't you tell me that in the last meeting? It's part of like the Hindu cultures, this whole reincarnation classism thing where they don't really believe that anything that they do is about moving up in the world in this current lifetime. It's all about their like karma, their supernatural interdimensional karma so that the next life they can have a promotion instead of this one. It's bizarre. We're in the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita. You have this massive war about ready to break out between two armies led by cousins. One cousin expresses a little bit of reluctance to go to war with his other cousin. Saying, hey man, that's my family. I'm not sure if I should, you know, kill him and all of his people. It's my cousin. Krishna comes down and says, learned men, do not mourn the living or the dead because of reincarnation. You can kill him. He'll just come back a different way. They don't even eat cows. This is America, man. I don't trust anybody I can't have a burger with. I'm going to give out the number, 877-789-2539. 877-789-2539. Finally, 877-789-2539. I'm going to let the crew screen the calls, and let's go straight to this.
And that's where, inside this Trump administration, you really need to evaluate the specific people that are involved. Because what I always liked about Trump is this is the language that he would use. When he said about the Iraq war, he said, look, you went in, take the oil. And when he was talking about Syria, he says, who cares about Assad? Just kill ISIS. In other words, what are the tangible American interests? Insofar as ISIS is real and not a CIA Mossad creation, they were spreading this ideology in America and Europe that is actually harming us. So let's just kill them. And to the extent that we're in Iraq, who gives a shit whether they vote? Just take their oil. Just have American energy companies come in and let's just take the energy. It's transactional. That's how the world is. That's realism. We are in a great power competition with China and Russia for the alignment of middle powers, for the alignment of resource-rich countries, and we're in a battle with Russia and China over supply chains and the resources that fuel the supply chains. Specifically things like energy, rare earths, minerals, and then the shipping routes that transit those raw materials. So in this new era of competition, who cares whether Iran is Islamist or monarchist? You know, people say, I had this debate with Gavin. He said, you don't want regime change in Iran? I'm like, who cares? Like, seriously. Who cares if women in Afghanistan vote? Like, these people are primitive. It doesn't even matter. Who cares if Putin's a war criminal? Yeah, it's Russia. They're brutal. Who cares if Venezuela is run by some corrupt, petty tyrant? It's South America. They're all like that. It's always been like that. Just take their shit. Get as many countries on our side of the ledger so that we can take their shit. I don't know. Is that complicated? But on the other side of this debate, you have the ideological neocons like Rubio, like John Ratcliffe, the CIA director. You have these other people that insist, no, that's not good enough. We need a U.S. puppet in place. We need this female resistance leader that's pro-democracy. Their election was fake. Dude, our election was fake.
Exactly.
You think our elections are real? They said Maduro lost the 2024 election. Yeah, Biden lost the 2020 election. We want to start with that?
All right, folks. Well, he's making a lot of sense, and he's getting criticized in that clip for being too imperialistic. But I didn't gather that at all. We should have a foreign policy that is America first. All the libertarians and people are criticizing the Trump administration for bombing various boats that are responsible for shipping narcotics into the United States of America, fentanyl, which results in the death of over 100,000 people via overdose every single year, funded and backed by the CCP and then weaponized through Central and South America right across the border, sponsored by the invasion, which is sponsored in and of itself by George Soros, the leftist, the globalist, and the international satanic evil human trafficking cabal. If we're ever going to be bombing anything, it should be bombing the people that are actually invading our country. I am pleased to see that boats full of foreigners trying to invade the United States in order to smuggle in narcotics to kill Americans are being bombed rather than just some random village in some random country because of the audacity and ambition of our political class. I love it. And George Bush didn't really want to take the oil itself. We never actually even took the oil directly. He just wanted to ensure that the oil was traded in U.S. dollars, and they just made up all of these lies around the war in order to justify the real reason that we got involved. Oh, this is a threat to national security. We've got this war on terror. They want to destroy our culture. They hate everything that we stand for. They're jealous of our success and our ambition and our innovation. This is the spread of Sharia law. He's kind of right about that, but the real reason we were involved is not because these people hate us. We don't give a crap. We hate our own government. The real reason we got involved was to protect the dollar as the global reserve currency. And the real reason we had to protect the dollar as the global reserve currency is because it's a lie. Not backed by anything. Totally valueless. Worthless in every capacity you could possibly imagine whatsoever. Worthless. And so until we fix the big lie that is our monetary system, the great lie that is the Federal Reserve, the United States dollar official currency, until we fix that, we are always going to be at war. We are always going to face inflation. There is always going to be an increase in the disparity between the wealthy among us and the poor among us. There is always going to be an increase in division domestically between the people, among the people. We are never going to fundamentally solve any of these problems. Evil will always take ground. Good will always be in a further weakening position, a further weakened position, unless we fundamentally solve these problems. And the only way to do that is to have a massive great awakening as soon as possible. The only way to do that is to fight for our rights in every way that we can, to keep institutions like InfoWars on the air, to keep hosts like Alex Jones on the air, to ensure that we can broadcast worldwide to an audience of millions of people. All that is true in the face of all that is a lie. And the only way we can do that is with your support at thealexjonesstore.com. If you're sick of just having a vote and you also want to have a voice, if you believe in taking the side of good against the side of evil, then go to thealexjonesstore.com right now. We've got incredible supplements for sale. I want to talk more to you about these with Rex Jones as well as the news on the other side, but I will be taking your calls first for an hour. But the Shilajit gummies, the vitality, the testosterone enhancement, the fact that all of our shirts right now are only $19.97 on the entire site is just insane. We are giving you every reason to wear it, share it, and swear it. And we're giving you every resource tool you need as far as supplements are concerned to have self-actualization, to manifest the most perfect version of yourself, to reach your actual potential, and all while empowering you to fight for good against ultimate evil. Go to thealexjonesstore.com right now and don't let me down.
Alex Jones, patriot. A man they tried to silence. They came for his voice, his platform, his life. But they can't stop him. Gentlemen, we can rebuild him. We have the technology. We have the capability to make the world's most unstoppable force. Alex Jones will be that man. Better than he was before. Better. Stronger. Faster. Louder.
Go to alexjonesapp.com, the number one news app in the world.
Anybody. anybody who's halfway informed about health and vitality knows that turmeric is one of the top supernutrients in the world. But concentrated turmeric is what you want. Most turmeric pills are 4%. That's raw. This is the strongest, 95% curcuminoid with a bunch of other concentrated supernutrients like ginger and black pepperdine. And it's finally back in stock. Ultimate Turmeric Gummies at thealexjonesstore.com. Just go see what Robert F. Kennedy Jr. says about turmeric. And this stuff is the Godzilla of turmeric. And it funds the InfoWar. And while you're at thealexjonesstore.com, be sure to check out the widest selection anywhere of Patriot 1776 Part 2. Incredible clothing, ball caps, t-shirts, hoodies. It's all there, like this baby, the Second American Revolution, at thealexjonesstore.com. And you're funding the tip of the spear in the Second American Revolution when you support us. So I thank and salute you all. Now take action at thealexjonesstore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.